Good. If you would, find the Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Let me read this to you. Who do I have in heaven but you, and I desire nothing on earth but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He is my portion forever. Let's pray together. Will you bow with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from you, us. And then let your prayer move to being grateful, to being thankful. Let the Holy Spirit highlight in your heart what you need to be grateful and thankful for. And then let your prayer move to praying for other people, folk who overlap into your life. Many different needs, struggles. Just lift them up to our Heavenly Father right now by name. He knows their name. He knows their situation, but it's me and you asking and giving those people to him. There are many people who gather and pray for the events that are going on in the world. And usually I highlight different nations or countries, but I'm just going to let you do that. We pray for the nations. I want to remind you the biblical history and even history that's close to us, where God has moved in tremendous ways and swept countries, nations. So there are nations that you have an affinity to and for, and because of mission trips, because of connections. Pray for the nations. And then pray for our nation, godly wisdom, that our hearts would belong to him again. Pray that movements of God would begin even here. We narrow it down from nations to our nations to us locally. And then even in this room, will you pray for people who are around you? Pray a blessing over them. Will you do that? Even though you don't know who they are. And then pray for your families, wherever they may be. Pray a blessing over them today. Father, help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child would understand me. Lord, help me to listen to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. You're harder on me than you are anybody in this room. I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room, and I know that, and I accept my place in rightfully dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's really good to see you all today. Thank you for being here. I hope you have a chance to read Psalm 73 this week. You can make that a part of your devotional plan, and I hope you do that. As I'm going to tell you later on, a psalm is a hymn, and it's music and singing and all pieced together. So David usually writes most of the psalms, but in this case, he has a trusted person that writes Psalm 73. His name is Asaph, and Asaph is written this hymn, this song, this psalm. He's singing it. He's trusted by David. He's a Levite, so that we can narrow it down. He's a worship leader. David uses him as a worship leader. So if you read Psalm 73, the first part of it and a good portion of it, Asaph is just frustrated. I mean, he's just frustrated, disgusted by what he sees. He's just having one of those moments where he's just feeling left out. He's feeling like the unfaithful world is being blessed and the faithful world is struggling. He's just going back and forth. To show you his frustration, I'm just going to use one verse in Psalm 73. Look at verse 12. In Psalm 73, 12, he goes, "Look at them, the wicked. They're always at ease, and they increase their wealth." He's just mad, you know. He's just having a little bit of a meltdown. And to him, the wicked, the unfaithful, were flourishing, prospering. They were carefree. They would speak against heaven and speak against the Lord. They would flaunt their lifestyles. They would do all that. Other people were looking at their lifestyles and looking at their life, and they're like, "I want to be in that group. You know, I want to mix and mingle with those people." My parents, their generation, would have said they're footloose and fancy free. You know, I don't know if you use that or not, but I remember that from my mom and dad's generation. And here's his frustration: the faithful and the righteous seem to struggle and have a difficult time. And then the unfaithful just seem to have a carefree life. Look at them, the wicked. They're always at ease and they increase their wealth. They seem to have no responsibility. Now, you all are probably saying, "Well, I feel just like Asaph." We all felt like Asaph. All of us have. Let's just go ahead and have big one group confession right here, all right? We've all done that. We've all looked at our life and gone, "I'm trying to live righteously. I'm trying to live faithfully. And it just seems like I hit a wall. I hit a closed door. It seems like I've got one thing after another. It looks like my responsibility grows more and more every day." And the unfaithful, well, man, they're just on vacation all the time. Spontaneous living. Don't ever have to pay off a credit card debt, you know? They just seem like they just go and do and just do it with ease. We've all caught ourselves there. We've all been there in the frustration. And if we're not careful, we may have even desired it. We may have even said, "Man, I wish I had their life. I wish I had little responsibility like seemingly they do." Asaph is doing this. And I want to remind you, he's a worship leader. He's a worship leader in the temple. And he's a worship leader over the people of God. And he's just having this frustration moment. We're going to refer to it because we're going to get to it in Psalm 73 in just a moment. He's having a real fleshy moment. All right, he's having a real worldly moment. He's really like, "Is this faith stuff really worth it? Because I'm struggling here," and they just seem to have no care in the world. And I want to remind you that faithful life has its struggles. It does. We have issues and we're tested by God, and it's about persevering. It's really about me and you just letting him lead us through. And we'll show that in Psalm 73 in just a second. We all have really different seasons of our life. Sometimes people come to me as a family, it's a family situation, and I'm going, it's a part of what you're feeling is the season that you're in. And we all have them. The seasons change, just like the calendar year, from winter to spring to summer to fall. It all begins to change. But I want to remind you, and I want you to hear me, the unfaithful life is the most difficult life. Don't let the enemy tell you that the unfaithful life, you can just rip and roar and there's no consequences, because the enemy will do that. I want to remind you that the unfaithful life is the most difficult life. Look at Proverbs 13, 15, and 16. And it doesn't say it in the words that I said it, but it's the meaning of it. "Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous never changes." Never changes. It's the way of the treacherous. It's difficulty. Let me just tell you this. And I want you to grab a hold of this. And I pray for words of knowledge in my prayer. I didn't say this in the first service. I don't know who needs this today. But unfaithful people don't lay down in the peace of God that you and I lay down in. Okay? I may not have what other people have. But one thing I do have is I have the peace of God. And unfaithful people will live a treacherous life, which actually is a picture of it. It's the most difficult living, and it's a life without peace. So you need to hear that and see that. I'm going to give you something by Roger Ellsworth. I was reading in him this week. It says, the faithful on their worst day, are better off than the wicked or the unfaithful on their best day. Understand that. That the faithful on our worst day are better off than the wicked or the unfaithful on their best day. So do you understand the comparison Asaph's having? Here he is, he's leading people to focus on the Lord. He's leading them in worship, and he just sees these people just gallivanting around, you know, and seem to have no responsibility in the world, none whatsoever. And it's just spontaneous living. They even brag about their living on all that. So, but a change happens to Asaph. This is where our challenge is today. Look at verses 23 and 24, Psalm 73. There's a 180 that occurs here. There's a switch that happens. And he goes, yet I am always with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me up in glory. He's talking about the here and the now. But he's also talking about later. He's talking about not only here and now, but he's also talking about what God promises to us in all of eternity as well. So I want to remind you again for the second time, he's a worship leader. And one thing he knows that needs to occur is he's focusing on the wrong thing. He's focusing on what he doesn't have and what everybody else does have. Whether it's things, a lifestyle, or a responsibility. He's looking at all these other people, and they seem to have a carefree life, and yet his life is focused on not only focusing his life on the Lord, but also helping other people to do exactly the same thing. So it's like there's a 180 that occurs. There's the light bulb, we always say, goes off. You don't want the light bulb going off. You want it going on, okay? And the light bulb goes on in his head, and there's this little click that happens, and he's starting to realize that he is with the Lord, and the Lord is with him, and the Lord gives him counsel for the here and the now, and also for all of eternity. God is for him, and God is with him. Verses 23 and 24, there's a switch going on. I'll explain that switch a little deeper in a moment. But he's gone from being frustrated to disgusted to look at them. Look at them. Here I am struggling in my faith, and then they just seem to be carefree. But then something happens, and we want to explain what happens there. I want you to look at Psalm 73, 25 for just a moment. He says, who do I have in heaven but you? And I desire nothing on earth but you. You see the switch that's happening here? The Lord's with me. The Lord guides me. He holds my hand. The Lord is my counsel. The Lord is my eternal promise. And then he goes here, who do I have? Who do I have in heaven but you, Lord? Now, here's where you need to get the understanding what's going out. Levites can feel left out. And he's a Levite. From the tribe of Levi. And in that, they were giving out land. God was giving out land to the tribes. But to the tribe of Levi, he said, you have me. You have me. So if I'm a Levi, if I'm from the tribe of Levi, and I look at all the other tribes, and I'm going, well, look what all they have. And then I don't have what they have. Do you get into seeing where Asaph can be going, well, man, they've got this and I don't have that. And it's I'm being left out. I'm going to bring this into today. I've been here 30 years going on 31. And I've been called to funeral homes in the area. And I had nothing to do with the funeral. I wasn't conducting the funeral. And they'd call me, can you get up here? And you know our tradition and our culture is that there's public viewing, let's say from 5 to 8, but then from 4 to 5 is that secluded family time to go the hour before the public can come for the visitation. And so I get a call, can you come up here? And people are literally in the family visitation time, and they're arguing over who's going to get the tractor and who's going to get that part of the farm, or who's, and they're just arguing back and forth over what they're going to get, feeling like they're missing out. And Asaph is doing the same thing. They didn't have tractors back then, but Asaph is like, I'm missing out. These people are running with no responsibility and seemingly no care what in the world, and nothing happens to them. In fact, they flourish and they prosper. But yet I struggle. It may even be to give. They have a lot of money and you struggle to get your tithe to the Lord. And I've been there. I understand that. Been there. But I stayed faithful in that. And then the Lord just pours out his blessings on us in his timing and even in his way. You'll get into what they have and what I don't have, and that's where Asaph was getting in his life. So he knew his heart wasn't right. And we're even going to get the steps to that here in just a moment. But Asaph needed a reminder to look at what he had and who he had. And he declares now, the first part he's fussing about it all. And the second part he's declaring that, Lord, I have you. I have you. And here's where we talk about contentment. I am his and he is mine. You know, contentment is not going to be on a level of that you think you need to get to with the world or recognition or any of that. But contentment is in a relationship with the one who made you and the one who gave you life. I can lay down at night and have the peace of God in my life. You can't get that at Walmart, and you can't order it on Amazon Prime. You know, you're not going to get it there. It only comes from the Lord. And what a Levite will deal with is, I don't have my portion. Like, I don't have, it's not fair, you know? And I've said this a long, long time, and I'm not the only one that says this, but the quicker you learn that life's not fair to you, the better off you are. Because this world is not fair. And you'll get frustrated if you look for fairness in a world that never gives it. You'll get frustrated by that. Just like that's what was happening to Asaph. He was beginning to understand. But then, again, that switch is really important. He went from griping and fussing that he went to getting his heart turned to where it needs to be, which is our challenge today, really. Look at Psalm 73, 26. This is going to break it all down for us. He said, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion, which we'll get there in a minute, my portion forever. He's having a fleshy moment earlier on. Flesh means body. His heart was even worked on by his flesh. The flesh was affecting the heart. I want you to see that step. And in the New Testament, Paul says that our flesh and the Spirit of God will battle each other every single time. There's always a battle back and forth between the flesh and the Spirit. And back and forth. And we'll just give it to Asaph, because we've all had it too. We've all been him. We have our fleshy moments. And when we let our flesh have its rule, it will affect your heart. You'll get into, well, look what they got and look what I don't got. Well, life's not fair and I don't have my portion and they've got more portion than they need. And that comparison will go back and forth and back and forth when our flesh overrides our heart. And Scripture tells us over and over, guard your heart at all costs. Because the flesh will override your heart and it'll make it carnal, meaning worldly. It'll be able to do that. So here he's saying that my flesh and my heart failed me because I let my flesh overtake my heart. But then there was a click. And the click that happened was Asaph went into worship. We ask you all to do the big five every day. You'll hear that in new member training tonight. It's a strategy of our church. That where we're in worship and sharing our faith and we're in discipleship, we're in the word, fellowship and ministry, and we try to get that done every day. And it sounds like, oh man, that's really hard. It's not that hard. It really isn't. But one of the things that we ask you to do is make worship a part of your life. And so I'll take worship and discipleship. We're going to give this to you as a simple challenge at the end of the sermon, but this is what he was beginning to do. This is what made the switch, is he started realizing what he had in the Lord instead of looking at what he didn't have in the world. And it made a huge switch. The heart now, when the heart is focused on the Lord, it will influence the flesh. When you and I are focusing on the flesh, it will override the heart. Do you see that? And so the first part of Psalm 73, the flesh was overriding the heart. Now, halfway through, he realizes what he needs to do. And so his heart is focused on the Lord, and it begins to influence the flesh. Because here's the change. Do you see it? God is the strength of my heart, not the world anymore. Because your fleshy moments will override your heart. Guard your heart at all costs. But now, because of worship in the midst of this, his heart is overriding his flesh. God is the strength of my heart. It means, the word strength means rock. We've been talking about that. Remember, we're talking about God is strong and powerful, but he strengthens you. He makes you strong. He's my anchor. He's immovable, unmovable. As we said in verse 23, he said, you are always with me. So I want you to see the switch. The flesh was making his heart gripe and fuss and complain. But then he realized my heart needs to be focused on the Lord. And when his heart focused on the Lord, it took the fleshy part away. It was overriding the flesh. And he gets into, Lord, not only are you the rock or the strength of my heart, you are my portion forever. And let the other tribes have their land. That's fine. I have you. Let the family member have the tractor. That's fine. I got you. I have you. Let me tell you something, folks. The peace of God is unbelievable. Paul says it goes beyond anything you can comprehend or imagine. It rises above logic and reason. Is knowing that you belong to him. Even John wrote that these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because my daddy was a preacher. I'm going to heaven because as a little bitty boy, under the preaching of Bug Durrett on the topic of hell, I realized my belief system said I'm going to heaven because my daddy is a preacher. On that very night, the Lord reminded me, the only way you will go to heaven is if you are in a relationship with me. So I was believing a lie, but I'm not going to get to heaven on that lie. God's truth was revealed to me on that night, and I surrendered to the ministry, or surrendered my life to the Lord. And I remember that night, God telling me that he had plans for my life, even though then I didn't know what they were. But listen, folks, you can have all the land you want, okay? But God is our portion forever. Our portion forever. He's my inheritance. A lot of times in life, you're wanting to know what is yours. You ask the question, what is mine? Wrong question. The question you need to ask is, who do I belong to? And at the first part of Psalm 73, Asaph was fussing because he felt left out. Everybody else is just it's just a party life. and I've left out, and look, I've got all these responsibilities, yet they seem to have none, and they prosper, and I don't, and they not only prosper, they get more wealthy, and I don't, and we get into what I have and I don't have. It's not even the question. The question is, who do I belong to? And that's where Asaph gets to. That's where the switch happened that we talked about in verses 23 and 24. And then he says, God, you are the strength of my heart, and you are the rock of my heart, and you are my portion. You are my inheritance. Look how he goes on, verse 27 and 28. He speaks a big bunch of truth in verse 27, and he gets to it. They seem to flourish, but look what he says here after the Lord is his counsel. He said, those far from you will certainly perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. There's a lot of truth in verse 27. We don't like to hear that one, do we? Those far from you will certainly perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. I had a country preacher talk about, he was talking to a guy that wasn't a believer and didn't want anything to do with it. And the country preacher said to him, he said, I just want to tell you, as an unbeliever, you're as close to heaven as you're ever going to be. And the guy says, well, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, as a believer, I'm as close to hell as I'm ever going to be. I'm never going to be any closer to hell than I am right now because of the Lord. And I want to take you back to what Asaph said. Lord, you, who in heaven do I have but you? I have you. And not only in the here and now, but also I have the glory that you've promised me forever in heaven. The beauty of that, it's all taken care of. That's why there's peace with God. I not only walk with him here, I'm going to live with him there forever and forever. A lot of truth. We don't want to hear this one. Those far from you will certainly perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. If you're living an unfaithful life, have a good life. That's all I can tell you. You're going, well, I don't want to look at a God who's going to punish. I want you to know that this God, this loving God, sent his son so that you wouldn't be punished. He said, for he has given us his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's set in stone that the unfaithful are going to perish a long time ago. That's never going to change. But look, he says in verse 28, he goes back to where the switch happened in his heart. But as for me, God's presence is my good. I've made the Lord God my refuge, my hiding place. And he does it so I can tell about all that you do. And you get to this picture, it's about God's promise and then God's presence. And then it's about God's mission to make that known to other people. When you and I are looking for our portion to be somewhere else other than God, we're saying that God is not enough. And God is enough. He is enough. You remember when we used to do the Seder meal, we'd say the word Dainu, which means it means that God is enough. He's absolutely enough. That's where life begins. I want to give you a simple challenge. Last Sunday, we handled a portion of scripture that said, you are my song. And you remember I gave you a challenge last Sunday to, if you could pick a song that talks about your life, what would it be? And so I use Papaw and I use Julie and Me because I know our lives. And I use those. But you all were texting me this week. In fact, one came today and told me after the first service, and some of you all were texting me songs that you would choose to depict your life. And I'm going to give you something about songs and scripture here in a minute, and you're going to go, well, why are you doing this with a song? And I'm doing this because that whole psalm is a song. All right, it's a song unto the Lord. And many times in scripture, they say, Lord, you are my song. So let me give you some simple things to do daily that's going to help you to not have your flesh overtake your heart and to keep your heart exactly where it needs to be. For when your heart's where it needs to be on the Lord, then it will override the flesh. We've all been Asaph. All of us have been him. We've all seen that. We've all been a part of that. But I want to be a part of Asaph where the switch happens, where I go from being frustrated to I go to where my focus is on the Lord, that he is with me, he guides me, he's my counsel, and I live under his promises. And here's two simple things to do. Number one, I know that you're going to be, I'm going to tell you to have scripture in your life some way. I have devotionals on my phone that are ready for me, that are there for me during my day. I'm just asking you to carve this in your day to where you're around scripture, where there's one that's sent to you. You have a devotional book, which I have both. And I'm studying for sermons, but I try not to let my study for sermons to be my devotion. Even though I'm handling scripture and putting things together, I try to make my devotion to him separate. So you get that one. The other one is include music and song during your day. We sang today talking about you are my song. Asaph is a worship leader, and Psalm 73 is a hymn that he's singing to the Lord about his frustration, but then about the switch over to the promise of God. Some of you remember the old hymn that I'll just give you the lyrics and you'll know it. Holy, 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 early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Just, I'm telling you to put some music in scripture, just mix it in. And I say music, I don't mean M&M, okay? I'm talking about that which declares the Lord. All right, so the other is Matt Meyer. We sang it last Sunday. Logan led us in this. Lord, I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way. Even when temptation comes my way, Lord, I'm raising up a song to you to be reminded of where my focus needs to be. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So even from Psalm 73, first part, just really frustrated. Second part, getting his heart right. Just remember, if you focus on the flesh, it can override your heart. And you'll get frustrated. You'll get to comparing. You'll feel left out. You'll go through life saying it's not fair. If you get your heart right, it will override the flesh. And you'll say, God is with me. And he is for me. Because Asaph wasn't feeling that God was for him. But then when he got his heart right, it was overriding the flesh. God is for me. He's my counsel. He has my right hand. Do you see that? He's guiding me. He's not only the here and now, but he is my portion forever and forever and forever. So Lord, you are our song. So mix scripture and mix worship in your day. Sometimes I blindly, unknowingly have Christian radio on my going and I'm not paying attention to it. And then there's a line that comes off that sun. It just feels like it just reaches out of the dashboard and grabs me, you know? When I work out, I'm listening to Christian music. I even got into Christian hip hop. I hate to admit that, but it's called Planet Boom. I don't know if you've heard them or not. I've not even talked to you about it. But it gets that little extra rep in every now and then, you know. But I make sure I'm listening even when I'm working out. Back in my office, I will do that. In my truck, I will do that. And sometimes I don't pay any attention to it. I get it. You do too. But then there'll be a line jump off there. And it'll help me to keep my focus on where it needs to be. Just in a simple format of your spiritual formation, include scripture and include Christian music. Because he is our song, isn't he? A skip in my step and a song in my heart. And it helps us to keep our focus on him. And when our focus is on him, our heart will override our flesh. And that's the way you want it. Because Asaph says, my heart, my flesh and my heart can fail me. So I want my heart to override my flesh. I don't want my flesh to override my heart. God, you are the rock of my life. You are the strength of my heart. And you are my portion forever and forever. Amen. Church, you receive that today. I pray that you do. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Blessing over them. We've all been Asaph, Lord. In fact, you included in your word for us to be able to see. We've all been Asaph. We've all said not fair. We've all said, what's the benefit of our faith? We've all said, the unfaithful seem to prosper and flourish. But Lord, the truth of it is you have us here and now and you have us forever. And I just pray for your peace, Lord, to fall over our people. Because Paul writes about it and we experience it, that your peace, we can't explain it. So you, God, be the strength and the rock of our heart. And you be our portion forever and forever and forever. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place? The team's going to lead us and you come.